That was a cool sound effect. Someone just made over there.
R2D2?
I don't even know who it was. It sounded like I was in the Amazon or something. How about Ephraim? Ephraim's usually making Amazon sounds. Right there. Awesome. How are y'all doing? Summertime?
Hey.
It's happening? I know that last year, I know that Jeremy a lot of times goes on and on and on about Mary's Palateria. He loves that place. Some of you are like, what is that? I think the new place is Nikki's.
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yeah. Still Mary's.
Still Mary's? Okay, there's a division in the room. Man, I don't know. Just ice cream of some sort. That's just summertime, man. I think of summertime, I'm like, ice cream, fruit, and goodness. I don't know. So go get some at some point. Would be a good idea because it's summertime. I'm excited. I'm excited for this. I love just what Keith was saying just to kick this thing off, because what I want to talk about tonight is something that anyone who's been in or around the church for even probably a moment, you may have seen or noticed that there is often a division in the core of the church in a lot of ways. It's sad. It's hard. And I think some of that comes from the question of, well, what is the gospel? If that's what we're talking about all summer, is finding the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the whole scripture and all these different people in the scriptures, on and on. The question really is, well, what is the gospel? And so we're going to start off this thing with the Apostle Paul, because he, just about more than anyone else, knows the gospel and lives the gospel. And so I just want to start with him and all that. But before we get to him, I want to say something about every single person in this room. Because every one of us is either a painter or a poet. What? Every one of us is either a painter or a poet. Let me say what I mean by that. You know, a poet goes out and looks at the world and they're like, man, I gotta describe this thing. I gotta do something. So they try to find the right words to just shape the things that they're seeing and the things that they're experiencing. They try to put them into lines and write it out and say it perfectly. I need to describe what's happening. I need to tell you what's going on. Some of you might be poets, but maybe a painter, they do something completely different. A painter goes and sees something and they're like, man, I want to show this to people. So they don't use any words. They just create it. They paint it. They make a picture of it. So you can just look at it and see it. See, some of us may be painters. Some of us might be poets. Maybe I can put it another way. Some people might be athletes. And some people might be the enthusiasts. You know what I mean? You know, those people who are like, hey, did you watch the game? Did you see it? Like, let me tell you all about it. The score was this and that. Like, their phone's going off every few minutes telling them the new score. And like, they just keep telling you about all these characters, all these players, all these different athletes. Everyone's a character. They keep telling you about all of these different athletes, all of their stats, everything, because they're the enthusiasts. Whereas there's other people who are just athletes. They're like, I don't really know what's going on in the world of sports, but do you want to go play ball? You know, like, let's just go play it. Let's just do it. I don't want to talk about it. Let's just do it. Right? They're athletes and they're enthusiasts. Or maybe for musical people. You know, there's some people who are just brilliant, and you give them a piece of music and they just sit down and they can just play it the first time they sit down. And then there's the other people who just sit down and they just play music. Like, you don't even put anything in front of them. It's just like in their head, and they just sit like at a piano or a guitar and they just play and beauty comes out. You know, and so some people are like, they use the theory and they read the music and they know exactly what to do and how to do it. And then people are like, man, I don't know the dots and the lines on there. That's cool. Can I just make sound happen and it's beautiful? Right? Do you get what I'm saying here? Some of us are painters. Some of us are poets. Some might be athletes. Some are enthusiasts. Some might read the music and other people just make it happen. So we're all over this thing. And I think that we have a similar division in the way that we approach the gospel. So let's see what that looks like. Because some of us probably even most of us in this room, but I don't know if that's true, grew up maybe in churches that taught us about Jesus. Let's learn about Jesus. Okay, so these are the churches that, you know, the sermons are awesome, or, well, maybe they're not awesome, they're just long. And, you know, they go on and on about the gospel, and they tell you about the cross, and, you know, these are the churches that, like, they take communion every week, and before communion, they have, like, a mini sermon to tell you about communion, and then you take it, and then you sing another song, and then you have the real sermon, and, like, you know, like, anybody experience that? Maybe grow up there. You have Bible classes, so you're learning and you're reading the Bible and you're hearing the sermon about the communion, and then you hear the sermon about the sermon, and then you hear the actual sermon, and it's just, I don't know, there's a lot of that going on. And this is great, because we get to hear about Jesus throughout the whole deal. And maybe if you grew up in that, I think I definitely grew up in a place like that. That's kind of my background. We grew up maybe with an educational spirituality. It's a spirituality of learning, of Bible study, discussion. We're thinkers. We, you know, we learn. We like to, you know, do you have, what's the book, chapter, and verse for that? You know, you got to know, and you got to be able to talk about it, because it's, we got to know about Jesus. And this is how we tended to do church. It's really controlled. It's really kind of, you know, easygoing. And when we walk out, we go with fresh knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is good. This isn't bad. This is where I think a lot of us come from. And we love to learn about Jesus. We're really comfortable in our Bible studies and our church services and all of that. But here's the deal. If we're talking about Jesus, what happens whenever Jesus is doing the worship service? I have an example. Luke chapter 4. Jesus is preaching and teaching, which we love. Love that, preaching and teaching. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the synagogue, this demon-possessed man shows up, screaming, hooting, hollering, doing something crazy. Jesus looks over at him, just stops the preaching, performs an exorcism, you know, kicks the demon out, says, you know, get out of here, not welcome here. And everyone's like, oh, that's awesome. You know, everyone kind of like getting loud, getting a little rambunctious, getting excited. And then later that day, a bunch of people show up. They're like, man, this guy, like, he casts out a demon. That's cool. And he ends up healing a bunch of sick people. That's how Jesus did church. So we're doing our Bible studies. We're, you know, happy to be, you know, sipping on our grape juice and talking about that we're about to sip on the grape juice. But what happens whenever Jesus gets up and casts out a demon and heals a bunch of people and says a word of prophecy? Because that's what Jesus did whenever he led church. For those of us who are used to learning about Jesus, that sort of thing freaks us out. That's weird. So I want to know about Jesus, but I don't want to do that. That's weird. It freaks us out. But others of us, maybe some other people in here, just get real excited. They're like, oh, that sounds really cool, actually. Let's do that. And yes, let's do that. So some of us grew up in churches maybe where we're learning about Jesus, but others look a lot like that ministry of Jesus. Churches that look a lot like this. Churches that talk about the kingdom all the time. Let's talk about the kingdom. Let's bring the kingdom down to earth. Let's do this, and everything is about the kingdom. And let's have a great big worship night. Just everybody get together, let's encounter the presence of God and worship him and talk about the kingdom and bringing it down to earth. This is good. We actually just did that. I love it. We have prayer gatherings. Let's listen for words and prophesy over each other. Let's do all of that stuff. Because what? Well, that's what Jesus did. So let's be like Jesus and do it. Because some of us have maybe grown up in a church that was like that. These people, if that's you, maybe grew up with more of an experiential spirituality rather than educational. Where we like not necessarily reading and study and discussion, but we like worship. We like prophecy. We like the presence of God. We just want to soak it up. That's good. This is how we do church. It's really free. Sometimes it's really fun. And when we walk out with a lot of passion, a lot of excitement. Right? Both of these are great. But the problem is, there's a pretty stark division in the church over this, because there's these different approaches to spirituality and to the gospel. Some of you have experienced both of these, and probably either loved the different approach, or were really frustrated or freaked out by it. Like, maybe you grew up in that first kind of church, and you went on a spring break trip with us one time, and you were like, what's going on? Like, the Holy Spirit's doing stuff, right? Like, you laughed because you've experienced that. Or maybe on the other side, you know, you're kind of used to, you know, this, you know, let's worship night and let's prophesy and all this stuff. And then you hear someone just teach with boldness and they go into the scriptures and they just proclaim it. And you're just like, that's incredible. I just want to learn. I want to, like, what do I read next? Like, how do I teach me more, you know? Maybe some of you have been there. We've all kind of experienced that. And either you got freaked out by the thing that you weren't used to, or you totally loved it. I think that this division exists because we're confused about what the gospel is. What is it? What is the gospel? And I think, rightly so, we could become confused because it can even look confusing as it shows up throughout the scriptures. So let's take a look at that real quick. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14, it says that Jesus is coming into Galilee. It's kind of the very beginning of his ministry, and it says he's proclaiming the gospel of God. So Jesus comes to preach the gospel. What does he say? He says, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. So repent and believe the gospel. So for Jesus, the gospel is about the kingdom of God. He comes proclaiming the gospel and says, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom is at hand. It's real close, it's coming. So repent and believe so we can experience this kingdom thing. For Jesus, when he preaches about the gospel, he preaches about the kingdom. But let's look somewhere else. Over at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he says, now I would remind you of the gospel. He goes on to talk about the gospel. This is what Paul says. He says, I remind you that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Didn't say anything about the kingdom. What's going on? Jesus preached the gospel. He's like, kingdom, kingdom. Paul preaches the gospel, and then he says, Christ, he died, rose. See, for Paul, the gospel is about Christ and the cross. And that's the gospel. So what's going on? Is the gospel the kingdom? Or is the gospel the cross? What's up? You see, scholars have debated this for ages, pitting Jesus and Paul against each other, saying, well, Jesus talks about this and does this, and Paul does this, and, well, they clearly, you know, weren't the same, and scholars will debate about that on and on and on, and churches have debated this, putting the kingdom and the cross against each other. What? Putting the kingdom and the cross against each other, and what I think that we need to do is just pause and take a closer look at Paul to settle this whole thing. I think we might just find that the answer to the question, is it this or is it this, is yes. Is it the kingdom or is it the cross? Yes. Anytime you ask me an either or question, I'm probably going to tell you yes. So be aware. Let's take a look. Let's take a closer look at Paul. Because Paul is more than this. Paul doesn't so easily fall into one side or the other. Okay? So is he about Jesus? Let me tell you about Jesus, about Christ, about the cross. Or is he like Jesus? Let's live the kingdom. Let's do this thing. Yes. Let's start with the first one, about Jesus. Paul clearly is about Jesus. He writes about it on and on and on. tons of letters. There's a reason that 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament are attributed to Paul. He was perhaps the first great theologian and thinker of the Christian faith. He was probably, I mean, almost definitely the first writer of the Christian faith. That's why we have all his stuff. Why I read it all the time. There's a reason for that. Because he's always thinking and teaching people about Jesus, about Christ. That's what all of his letters are about. He needed to tell you about Jesus and about what he did and who he was. But it's not just that. Have you read Acts? Okay? There's a reason why in Acts it records Paul going on 3 missionary journeys to 15 different cities, working miracles, casting out demons, and healing people, as well as preaching to many. So Paul's not just about Jesus Christ. He's also doing this thing, just like Jesus Christ did. He was continuing the mission that Jesus began. Somehow, the same man, Paul, wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And yet he also wrote later to the same church in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, may we be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So Paul's writing to people and he's saying, I knew nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. But he's also saying, no, we don't just need to be about him. Let's be transformed into his image. Let's look like him. So what's going on? How did Paul hold these two things together that seem to so often cause division in our churches? How did he do that? Like I said earlier, we all tend to be bent one way or another. We're all either painters or poets, athletes or enthusiasts. I think that Paul so easily held these two things together because both of them were part of his core. Both of them were who he was. I want to turn here, and if you have a Bible, just flip over to Acts chapter 22. We're just going to kind of look at the core of who Paul is, because he actually just pauses and tells people, this is who I am. I think we get a glimpse into how Paul was both one of the greatest theologians, but also most active missionaries of the Christian faith. In Acts 22, we'll read verse 3, but in Acts 22, Paul, he stands up in front of a bunch of Jewish men to share his testimony. He kind of was just recently doing the whole kingdom thing and preaching the gospel, and everyone's about to throw rocks at him and get all mad at what he's saying. And he's like, hang on, let me say something real quick. And he stands up, and he tells all the men and women, but it says men, I think, in the text. 22, verse 3, Paul says, I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, Jerusalem, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, and being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. Did you catch that? What he said? When Paul described himself, he said he was a man full of zeal for God, passion for God. I want to just explode. I'm so excited about the Lord and what he's doing. This is who Paul is. But also, he was a man educated according to the law. So he himself was a bit of a scholar. He himself had learned, spent time studying, reading. See, these two things are at the core of who Paul is. Paul was educated. We can tell this from his writings. If you've ever read any of his stuff, you can't read Paul's stuff without realizing he knows stuff that you don't. I've done that. Have you ever tried reading Romans? Anybody? Paul starts quoting the Old Testament left and right, piecing things together all over the place, and I would never have even thought of? Where'd you get that? Well, he studied. He was educated. He had learned. I mean, hey, a couple years ago, we in College Park started trekking through Romans, and we spent a whole year in it and only made it halfway through the book. They're like, this is the way that Paul writes. You can't just read it all and know it. You have to sit there and be like, what are you saying? Even Peter, in one of his letters, says, you may have read some of Paul's stuff. It's pretty hard to understand. So even the scripture says that Paul's writings are hard to get. Like, Paul knew stuff. He was smart. He was an educated man. But Paul was also zealous. You see, he had passion. He was a man full of confidence, walking in the things of God, filled with zeal. See how passionate and fiery he gets in some of his letters. You can tell by reading that he's not just simply, you know, sitting there writing. He's like, oh, you people, you know, he starts out, you know, in the Galatians, the letter, he's pretty angry because they've messed some stuff up. And he's like, you foolish Galatians, no, how would you turn away from the gospel so quickly? He gets pretty fiery because he's a man of zeal. He's a man of passion. Or just read Acts sometime. The second half of Acts is all about the ministry of Paul. And I noticed I was reading it the other day, and every time Paul does something, he's always looking at people intently. He always says, he looks intently at him, and then something crazy happens. He looks intently at people, and then they either end up blind, because Paul's like, you know, the dude like did something wrong, and Paul, it says Paul looked intently at him and cursed him, and then he ended up blind for a few days. Or, you know, maybe he was looking intently at someone, and then they end up healed because Paul saw faith in their eyes. Whatever it is, Paul's always staring people down. Like, he's intense. He's always looking people right in the eye. And you're like, you know, just imagine being there. This guy walks up to you and he's like, and you're like, am I either going to be blind or healed? I don't know what's going on. You know, what's going on? That's passion. Like, that's zeal. Ugh. I wish I had that. It's like, stare everyone down and, you know, bring a little bit of that passion for the Lord into them. Be like, oh, Lord, you know, I wish I could do that, or someone do that to me. Terrifying. That's zeal. Paul shared the gospel with just about the entire ancient world. That's passion. That's zeal. Paul had a vision for his life, and he said, I want everyone who doesn't know the gospel to hear it. And he just starts going from city to city to city. And he shares it with everyone he can find. That's passion. So Paul is educated, knowledgeable, studied, and fiery, and passionate, and intense. He's both of these things. We usually seem to pit these against each other. You're either some great scholar sitting at your desk, studying, thinking really hard, maybe you're translating the scriptures because you've learned Hebrew and Greek and you know them well, and you know you can work through them all and tell people a lot of smart things. Or, you know, maybe you're Shane Claiborne on the street with the broken, living with the homeless. But you can't be both. You can't be smart and intense unless you're intently boring. Maybe we think that about smart people. I don't know. You see, you're either writing and reading, or you're doing and being. You can't do both. Why? Why do we think that way? Why do we live that way? Maybe we could just be a people who live in both of those. I think that's what the life of Paul challenges us to do. To be an educated and to zealous people. To be people who learn and think and study and then get up and go and do and make stuff happen. This is who we're called to be. So where do we go from here? Like, okay, cool, this is nice. Like, what does that mean for us? why can't we just keep doing what we do? Let the thinkers think, let the doers do. Some of us can talk about Jesus, and others of us can just do stuff like Jesus, and altogether the church will be well-rounded, right? No, not right. Jesus has a harsh warning for people on one or the other side of these. He has two. I just want to read them out, talk about them for just a second, and then we'll start to close here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. If you want to turn there, you can. Jesus says to some people, they will come up to him in the end, in the day that the Son of Man returns. It says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. But they were doing the kingdom, right? They were prophesying and healing, and they were doing all this stuff just like Jesus did. Why did he say to depart? Because they didn't know him. Maybe they looked a lot like him. They didn't know Jesus. They were going out and they were trying to heal people and pray for people and prophesy over people, but never once did they speak the name of Jesus. So Jesus says to them, depart from me. I never knew you. Probably because they didn't know him. Or then, on the flip side, Matthew 25, verse 41. Jesus says to maybe the other side of that, the other group of people. He speaks to them and he says, depart from me, you cursed people. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty. Gave me no drink. I was a stranger. She didn't welcome me. I was naked. You didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison. You didn't visit me. And then they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty? Or see you a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison? We never saw you there. When did that happen? And he will answer them, saying, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you didn't do it to me. And then he sends them away into eternal punishment. So you see, that the first group that we talked about, that Jesus addressed, some of these people, they were doing the kingdom. They were doing the stuff, looking just like Jesus. Yet he says, depart from me. I never knew you. See, they were living life like Jesus, but they never knew him. This could be dangerous. We just veer off to that side, always trying to be just like Jesus and live in his kingdom, but never look at him. Never think on him. Never learn about him. This could be dangerous. But then the other people, man, they spent their time talking about Jesus. Undoubtedly, they had all of their theology figured out. That they knew that Jesus was all-powerful. They knew he was all-knowing, the all-wonderful God. And they're just startled when he says that they never fed him. They're like, you don't need food. We learned about that in our Bible class. You're the all-powerful God. Like, you don't need stuff. You know, we learned about that because of our theology. You're God. You don't need anything. They're startled because they were talking all about Jesus, but had never lived like him, to go lower themselves, to live amongst the least of these, and do the kingdom. See, they're learning all about Jesus, talking all about him. They know him. They know their theology. They know God. They know God's all-powerful and all-loving and all-great, and they just sat there and never did anything. And Jesus says, because you didn't do anything, you neglected me. you learned all about me and never did anything about it. This could be dangerous. We veer off onto that side and just tend to go over there. So here's my question. Just take a second to think. Which one are you? Are you someone who naturally thinks and studies? Are you someone prone to action? Are you someone prone to go and do and be? Are you a painter? Or are you a poet? Are you an athlete? Or are you an enthusiast? Which side of this thing do you tend to fall towards? Just take a second. Think. Because here's what I want to challenge us with. I want to challenge you this summer. Stretch yourself. Stretch yourself. Man, if you've always grown up and always loved learning about Jesus, then set down your study Bible and put on your shoes. Shoes of readiness is actually what the study Bible will tell you to put on. Put on your shoes of readiness. Get up. Go to Walmart and share the gospel with someone. You see someone like with a cast on? Pray for them. Ask for the Lord to heal them. Okay? Pray for people at the mall. Pretty much we don't have any reason to go to the mall because it's pretty junky, except to pray for people. I think the only time I've been to the mall is when someone's like, let's go to the mall and share the gospel. I'm like, the mall? What's that? Like, there's a mall in Abilene? Yeah, there is. Go share the gospel at it. Pray for someone. Get plugged into a life group. Do the kingdom with people. Okay? Do the kingdom. Get up. Let's go. Okay? Go. If you got free time this summer, go volunteer some more love and care ministries. Go do something. Volunteer there. There are all kinds of opportunities to volunteer. That's just one of them. Adopt a kid from World Vision. Compassion Kids. Do something. Okay, I'm just listening off. I could keep on going. Just do something like Jesus. Because he did stuff. He said the kingdom is coming. So let's live like it. Because the kingdom is coming. Man, if you're just used to sitting there and learning and thinking about Jesus, get up and go. But if you're someone who's bent towards doing things like Jesus, you just always want to get up and go, you always want to find the next mission trip to go to, the next person to pray over, the next prophecy and word to speak over someone, keep on doing it. But take some time to sit down and think, why am I doing this? Check your heart. Why are you doing what you're doing? Sit down, grab your Bible, and read it. Read it. Like, really read it. Not just to feel something. Not just the whole, like, man, like, find the verse and, oh, yeah, that's so good. Like, you can do that. But really read it. Like, really think about it. Learn what it says. Spend some time in, like, I don't know, Leviticus. That'll make you think. It will. Man. My fiance has been doing it. Morgan. She's been doing that. That wasn't in my notes. She's embarrassed by that. But she's been doing that. Like, get one of those, like, 90-day study Bible things or whatever. Just read through the thing. Really read it. Okay? Read some books this summer. Man, I can just list off a few great authors that I love. I'm going to say that in a second. I can list off a few great authors that I love. N.T. Wright is one of them. I just read a book by him right just a couple weeks ago. It's a book called Simply Christian. Man, it'll give you perspective on what the kingdom is and what the cross is. It's good stuff. He has another one called Simply Jesus. It's a good book. N.T. Wright, good guy. Someone else? A.W. Tozer. Maybe some of you have read something like that. Knowledge of the Holy, that book will make you think. Grab that book, Pursuit of God, another great one by him. Read it. It'll make you think. It'll also make you get up and go do something. C.S. Lewis, another great author. Read something by him. I don't know, just get up and read something. We actually have, in the back at the table there, a list of a bunch of resources and books that you could read on a ton of different topics. I think Jeremy put it together. So, like, if you just need to think about something this summer, maybe you're someone who's always up and doing stuff, sit down for a moment, grab that little card back there, pick a book on it, and read it. Think for a little while. Listen to podcasts. That's another good thing. Maybe you're not quite a reader. You can get books on tape, or maybe listen to podcasts. Just a few that I love. Matt Chandler from the Village Church. He's great. Pull it up. Listen to it. Good stuff. It'll challenge you. It'll make you think. Another one, Mars Hill Church. Mark Driscoll. Some of you have heard of him. Maybe listen to that some this summer. Stir you up. Make you think a little bit. Another one that I've checked out some is Desiring God. John Piper kind of heads that up a little bit. And these are just a few that I love. There are tons of others that you can listen to. Listen to something. Maybe another thing to do, you know, so you're not always alone in your room listening to podcasts and reading books. Go talk to people. Like, start discussions. Say, like, hey, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I wanted to know, maybe, what do you think about that? Start discussions. Stir people up. Start thinking. Let's learn about Jesus. And so, just wrapping this thing up, I don't know who you are or where you tend to go. Whether you tend towards being about Jesus or like Jesus. But may we be a people who are both. Who are both about him and like him. Who do the kingdom because of the cross. Because the cross purchased it for us so that we could do it. Let's be both of those. God, I pray that this summer we would be a people who learn about you, who seek after you, who want to know you. But God, may you stir our hearts that we would be people who get up out of our seats and go and do your kingdom. God, I pray that you would give us grace for people who are around who maybe tend towards one or the other, and that we would not be judging. That we wouldn't judge people who just tend to do things like the kingdom or judging people who just sit there and learn about Jesus. I pray that we could be people who do both. God, give us grace this summer. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. We want to know you. And we want to be your hands and feet. I pray that you would do this in our hearts. For your glory, for our joy. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Just a few things real quick before we close down. A couple of things that we want to be praying about. I think there's probably a few people who will be up here or on the sides or something to pray. If you just feel like you need strength and strategy to fight the flesh, if that's you, get some prayer. If you're having trouble with structuring your life, kind of feel a little bit disorganized, then get some prayer for that. Maybe you're dealing with loneliness. The summer, things are a little bit different. You don't quite know who to hang out with or who to be with. Get some prayer and get in a life group. If you have maybe some like muscle spasms going on, want to pray over that, or even athlete's foot, and all of these things. In addition to that, just the stuff that we talked about tonight. God, we love you. We trust you. We ask for your grace over us. In Jesus' name, amen.